What I want to talk to you about today has to do with how we view the Sabbath, how you view the Lord's Day. And so you're going to have little sermon notes I'm making available to you. Next week I'm going to talk on Christmas. But today I want us to talk on number four, God's Word to Workaholics. And you say, well, I'm not a workaholic. Well, that may be true, but it also may be true that you do not have time for the real things in your life that are important. And God is number one. And often, we get so caught up in things that we miss how great the Lord really is. Our commandment is the fourth in our series. And what I love about this, I'm going to kind of bring you up to speed on some of these. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God says, I am number one. I am number one. Would you say number one? That means first. Do you remember I gave you the acronym? Finances, interest, relationship, scheduling of my time, and in my troubles. So God is first. And the second commandment is you shall not make unto thee any graven image. And I said you can park it in your garage, or you could have it in a marina. You can make an image out of a person. And number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In other words, you need to be very careful about how you trivialize the name God with such expressions as, oh gosh, golly, gee. So we're talking about the fourth commandment today, which is to remember what? Say it with me. The Sabbath day, to keep it holy. It's the only one that says remember, and it's right in the heart of the Big Ten. And what is really interesting is that at seminary, I studied this thoroughly, and one scholar who's a very close friend of mine, Dr. Hans Laurendel, he has his Ph.D., and he's written a lot of books. And he said, Rocky, did you know that in the center of the book of Revelation, the apex of Revelation is Revelation 14, 6 to 12. And the heart of Revelation 14, 6 to 12 is the Sabbath. It has to do with the Sabbath. And it's really interesting. Do we have Revelation 14? I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those that dwell upon the earth. In other words, the gospel precedes the acts. Do you understand what I just said? I'm saved to serve. And I want to thank Sherman for his prayer. That was beautiful. And the ladies, you know, lifting Christ. Listen, to those that dwell upon the earth, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, and worship him that made heaven, the earth. And you remember I pointed out to you that the sea and fountains or springs of waters is not found in Exodus 20, verse 11. And that's the text that John quotes. Well, why not? Because this verse is found, the springs of waters phrase is found in Genesis chapter 6 through 8, where the Bible talks about the springs of the deep coming up at the flood. So the last message to this world is a judgment hour message. And the gospel is the heart of that. What do you do with Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 that you observe or you keep the commandments of God. You remember the commandments of God. And they're not really commandments. How many of you would say that's true? They're promises. I remember like yesterday a man telling me, you Seventh-day Adventists are very legalistic. To which I responded, don't you belong to the First Baptist Church, Southern Baptist? He said, oh yeah. I said, there's nothing more legalistic than a Southern Baptist. He said, you're right. We are legalistic. There's nothing legalistic about the law of God being written in my heart. There's nothing legalistic about that. So I want to talk to you about how the Sabbath today is an antidote to burnout. You say, I've never been burned out. I'm going to tell you something that maybe you do not know or you have not heard. I have already met people in these two churches, and I can tell you there are some that are very near crashing in their life because they are burned out, they are discouraged, they are depressed, and they don't know what to do. And you say, well, how's the Sabbath going to help me with that? That's why you need to understand what the Sabbath is all about. And so write in your notes, the Sabbath means day of rest. The word Abba, you remember I told you last week that in the word Sabbath, the word Abba is found in the heart. How many of you remember that? In the word Sabbath is the word A-B-B-A. Jesus used that phrase to talk about his father. And it is an Aramaic, another name for daddy. I have dad's name written in my forehead because I serve him. And the Sabbath is resting in my father's love. So it's a day of rest. By the way, if you need text for that, Paul says in Romans 8:15 that God, the Holy Spirit, gives us sonship into this family whereby I call God Father, Abba. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God would give you the good news and then say to you, I've saved you, I gave my son as an atonement for your sins, a sacrifice of atonement, now you're on your own and I'm not sure you're going to make it? That would be ludicrous. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for what? For man, and not man for the Sabbath. I want you to watch this now, and I want to step over here a little bit. You don't mind this. We were created on what day of the week? Would you please? Sixth day. Are you with me so far? What was our first full day on this earth? So we rested before we worked. Did you get that? Adam didn't have 6 days to work. He rested in God's 6 days of work. He rested to work. If we would look at the Sabbath as resting in Jesus Christ, what a different way we would present the law of God. We rest to work. I love that. I love that. The Bible says Paul kept the Sabbath. In Luke 4:16, Jesus kept the Sabbath as he had a habit and a custom of doing. I keep the Sabbath. Why? Is it because it's just a habit and a custom? No, Jesus kept it for more than that. And that's interesting. True rest, Jesus keeping the Sabbath rest a day. Why? Because he created the heavens and the earth. He created me. I belong to Jesus. Isn't that good news? I belong to the King. I remember a text one day a friend and I talked about, and he said, well, I don't happen to see it the way you do. And I said, you don't? He said, no, I don't. And it's under the title, when is the Sabbath day? The seventh day is the Sabbath. And by the way, take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 16, and I want to read something to you. It is the first place in your Bible, you do some research on this, you check me out. First place in your Bible where the words Sabbath and seventh day are connected together in the same verse. Exodus 16:26. You have it there? 16:26. Oh, thank you. I've preached once already. And you may not know this, but I put a lot into preaching. Exodus 16:26. 6 days you shall gather it, that is the manna, but on the seventh day, the what? Oh, there you go. This was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness before the law was given in Mount Sinai. And God elucidated the Sabbath and the seventh day. First time in all Scripture where it's connected. And it is the seventh day. What does the Bible say? We just read it. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And in Revelation 1:10, there's a phrase. Oh, I'm sorry. Here you go. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. I want you to watch the progress here. You shall not work. Who's the you? Now listen to this. You know your son. You first in your relationships. Your son, your daughter, your male servant, someone that you have possession of. Your male servant, nor your female servant. Oh, this is interesting. Nor your cattle. Why? Because you earn your living by plowing. You earn your living through your cattle. You shall not work on the Sabbath to earn your living. You will rest in me, and I will provide your living. Or the stranger. Your brother comes to stay overnight, and he said to you, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not a Sabbath keeper, and you share with him, but I am. And tomorrow, we don't go to the laundromat. You need to be an example of resting in the Lord, even to those who are unbelievers, especially if you want to share the truth. You don't do it in a legalistic way. You just say, my wife and I have chosen to follow Jesus. Amen? You were telling how your mom prayed for you. 97 years old, and she went to her rest. And she prayed for you. My mom did that every day, and I have no one now. Mama prayed every day. She would call me. It's me. I'm praying for you. And when she had her stroke, I asked her who was going to pray, and she, in her weak little hand, pulled mine and mumbled away at the bedside. And I said, Mama, thank you for praying. And then she pulled me again, and I prayed for her, and the next day she died. Sometime I'll tell you a little more about that. Mama saw angels. She did. She had the most beautiful blue eyes. And she really loved the Sabbath. In fact, everybody in the church came over. Everybody. 40 people for dinner. How many of you ladies would like 40 people to come over for lunch? You don't mind that. That's a gift of hospitality. And Mama would do that, and she would feed these people because the Sabbath was a joy. It was a delight. Listen to John the Revelator. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Well, what day is the Lord's Day? There are three possible explanations for that. In the Bible, Lord's Day is often used as the day of judgment, the Lord's Day. Secondly, many of our brothers and sisters believe the Lord's Day means what day? You can say it nice and loud. Sunday. But they miss the thought that Romans chapter 6 talks about the resurrection as a sign of the resurrection. So you don't keep a day. Why not keep Friday if you're going to keep a day? The Muslims do. As the day of his dying on the cross. No. We keep the Sabbath because it's the only 24-hour period of time Christ lived in the grave. He rested in the grave. Fell asleep for you and me, was separated from the Father. Listen to this. And I heard a voice behind me as of a trumpet, the Spirit. Now, you know, I have a text here that I want you to look at. Here the Spirit is connected with the Sabbath. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 20, just for a moment, if you have your Bible. And by the way, I know what time it is. You can have lunch when we're done. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. This is a text that many of you know, but I want you to see the connection. I was in the Spirit on what day? On the Lord's Day. So the Holy Spirit and the Sabbath are connected in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. Now listen to Ezekiel 20, verse 12. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbath that it might be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord God, that what? Who died? I'm the Lord who what? Makes them holy. That's the Holy Spirit and the Sabbath. And by the way, Isaiah 58:13 calls the Sabbath the Lord's day. Are you with me? For the Son of Man, the Bible says in Matthew 12 and verse 8, is Lord, not just Lord of my life, he's Lord of the Sabbath. Let me share something with you. Yes. 58:13, 12 and 13. Here's an interesting thought. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think now. I'm a teacher more than I am a preacher. If I say something you do not understand, talk to me. Whatever you do, please don't talk to other people and have me for lunch. I'm not good tasting anyways, you know. But talk to me. Here's the point. If the Lord is Lord of my life, would you use the phrase my life? My life. And he's Lord of the Sabbath. Now, whether or not I keep the Sabbath is still the Sabbath. Are you with me? If I want the Lord to be Lord of my life, I want to follow the Lord of the Sabbath. Does that sound reasonable to you? I have a friend of mine, and he's talked to me, and one day we spent hours round and round and round about the Sabbath, and I said, let's admit this. If you preach this at your church, and he finished it, well, I wouldn't have anybody. I would have nobody. If I preached that Saturday was the Sabbath, they would leave. But here's what you have to understand. This happened recently. I heard about this not long ago. There is a church of 500 people in Texas who began to study the Bible, came to the conclusion Saturday was the Sabbath, and the pastor stood before his flock and he said, tomorrow we're going to worship the Sabbath. We're going to keep, he called them all together on Friday. He said, tomorrow we're going to worship on Saturday. Saturday's the Sabbath, not Sunday. And they all came out, and now it's a Sabbath-keeping church. I'm going to tell you something. The Sabbath is going to go like wildfire. It is. People are studying. I just baptized a lady in South Salem who had been attending academy until she was 19, 18 years old, went a little to college, and married a young man of another faith, and she began to talk to him, and they'd been married all these years, and she said, I've got to get back to the Sabbath. Out of a clear blue, she shows up at the church, and here he is, and she began to talk to him about the Sabbath. I'm going to rededicate their marriage April 15. And he said to me, what am I going to do with you gone? I am going to miss you. The point is this. If a church is healthy, preaching the truth, God will bring people. He will bring people in. So I was on the Spirit of the Lord today. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. What do I do on the Sabbath? That's a good question. What do I do on the Sabbath? Do I go home and take a nap? It's not wrong to take a nap. It's not wrong. Now, some of these things, because of time constraints, I'm just going to take and preach to you from this. What do I do? The Sabbath is to be celebrated from even to evening. And we know how that goes, right? The evening and the morning were the first day and what? Evening and the morning were second day. So from even to evening is a day. You know what that means? God is with me in my dark times and my light times. Oh, I like that, don't you? He is. Celebrated from even until evening. And I have some text here that I'm thinking I'm in Winston, you know. Here it is. Luke 23:54. That day was preparation of the Sabbath drew near. So at the time of Jesus, they knew the Sabbath. They had no problem with the Sabbath. They knew when the Sabbath would occur. And in fact, the Jews number their days like this. 6th of the Sabbath, 5th of the Sabbath, 4th of the Sabbath, 3rd of the Sabbath, 2nd of the Sabbath, 1st of the Sabbath, preparation day Sabbath. So everything in the economy points to the Sabbath. If we were saved to work, then our day begins in resting in Jesus, not ending. Did you catch that? That's a whole different way of looking at the Sabbath. Whole different way. Mark 1:32, and at even when the sun did set, they brought into him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Even when the sun sets, Jesus, the creator of the world, separated night from darkness, separates me from my darkness. And he's a great healer of all mankind. Leviticus 23:32. And it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month of the evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath. So when did the Sabbath begin, brothers and sisters? Last night at sunset. Now, some of us do this. Kids, you can do this, but then we begin to count down the Sabbath. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's Sabbath. You can't do anything. And then children were raised to believe Sabbath is a burden. What do we do now? We watch TV all week long. What do we do now? Well, you need a break away from TV. So you load the children in the car and you hike with them and you go with them and you get out in God's nature and you get to know the Lord. It's not wrong to take a break, but you need to spend time in knowing God. There are two truths. There is a Lord's Day, and secondly, the Sabbath is the Lord's Day. Some use Romans 14, 4 and 5, where Paul suggests every day is alike, to refute the Sabbath. But Paul's not talking about the Sabbath. He's talking about feast days and holy days. The Jews set apart Thursday as a day of fasting. He said they're all alike. Okay, what do I do on the Sabbath? How do I keep it holy? I'm going to give you three things. Number one, rest my body. Rest my body. 62% of all Americans say, I have burned out or I'm on my way to being burned out. Let me ask you a very honest question. Do you know what burnout means? How many of you know people who have or are burned out? Come on, let's be honest. Sure. I have a preacher, a friend of mine. You know what he told me? I'm all done. I don't want to do this anymore. I am burned out. And I'm burning up. And he's burned out. But he's gone through all kinds of tragedy. Here's the thing. Here's a point I want you to remember. It's not what happens to us. It's what happens in us that counts. So you have to rest your body. Our bodies need rest. We're living at a high pace, at a high tech world. We worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. Did you catch that? Let me try that again. We worship our work, work at our play. Even playing is work, and play at worship. That's interesting. I recently read an old Indian proverb that said, if you break the bow, it's because it was always bent. Even the devil needs a vacation, and guess what? He has one coming for 1,000 years. How many of you would like to say, hey, we'll send him on his way, right? Okay. Psalm 122, verse 2, says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. There are two ways of reading this last word, sleep and rest. Sleep and rest. When God allows people to fall asleep, they're resting. They don't know anything, but they're resting. See, Jesus said Lazarus was what? Sleeping. And he was resting. Look at Ecclesiastes 11, chapter 10. Take your Bible and turn there, please. It's right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I want you to see this. And my focus is on how the Sabbath allows me to rest myself. Okay? Verse 9. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them. He who splits wood may be endangered by them. He's talking about work. If the axe is dull, what? And one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. Here's the point. I know because I chopped wood as a boy. And I said, Dad, this axe is so dull, I could set on it. And finally, when he sharpened that axe, I could sure cut wood. What this means is the Sabbath sharpens me. Sharpens my life. Listen to verse 10. The labor of fools worries them, for they don't even know how to go to the city. I get so caught up in work that simple mundane things affect me because I don't rest in the Lord. And I go round and round and round in this world, and I'm going nowhere. Number two, I use the day to recharge my emotions. Why? Because your emotions are part of you. You know what I think is really sad? I want to say this to you. In love, there are those of us in the church who shed a tear. There are those of us who say, amen, glory, hallelujah, God is great. And those of us who say nothing. But we're still part of us. We are all different. Is that true? Every single one of us. But your emotions can only run in high gear so long. Work drains you. Life experiences overwhelm you, and you need a day to recharge, to get a dose of inspiration, encouragement. And you may get a rest from taking a day off, but you won't get the blessing the Sabbath brings you. Are you with me? The blessing of the Sabbath is amazing. I'm glad that God blessed a piece of time. You know why? It cannot be called idolatry. Because it's time. And I have only so much time in this world. How many of you know you have only so much time? You can never repeat this morning. It's gone. A minute ago is gone. And I don't know if you understand this, but we are living every day in our lives, either just living or living a life. And we have to choose. Mark 2:27 says, "The Sabbath again was made for man." Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11 tells us that God put eternity in the hearts of men. If you get a chance, read that verse. And secondly, in this recharge thing, let me give you this, because it's important you understand this. It includes quiet time. Quietness. Time for quietness. To get away as I recharge myself, I need a quiet space, a quiet. You know, and I love this text. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he what? Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Have you ever laid in a field of tall grass, stretched your arms out and looked toward heaven? There is something incredible about that experience. Resting in a tall grass. When I was a little boy on my grandfather's farm, I did that. Sometime I'll tell you more about it. But I rested, and I thought about all the things that God had planned for me. He leads me beside still waters. Some of you, waters are not still now. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says he gives rest to us. In quietness and confidence, you will gain strength, says the prophet. Psalm 46:10 reinforces the need for stillness when God says, "Be still and know that I am God." How many hours do you think you spend at red lights? One of these days I'm going to die, and so are you, if Jesus doesn't come first. I get to run every red light I want to. I love that. Mark 6:31, there were many people coming and going. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go off by ourselves to a place of rest, a deserted place. There are many coming and going. They don't even have time to eat. And let's get away." You know, I couldn't help but think as I heard the girls sing, what a beautiful place to be this morning. Raise your hands. Say amen. Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit here. And I'm finding time to rest in God. And secondly, in this recharging, you need to include time for your family. Time for you to plan some special things with your family. Friday night, in our family, was tostada night. Christine made tostadas. To this day, our children remember the Sabbath by tostadas. Friday night. Listen to what the Bible says. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, "Live joyfully with a wife whom you love all the days of your life, which he has given you under the sun." Live joyful. Be happy. Don't be miserable. There you go. Don't be mean-spirited. Be warm. Be vibrant. Don't sweat the small stuff. Listen to this. Reader's Digest quoted this. "During my shift as a customer servant agent at the Detroit Metro Airport, I was approached by a woman who was so upset that I thought maybe she had missed a connection or lost a child. I left a book on the plane," she said frantically, "and she began to scream. I assumed it had to be a rare first edition book. So I asked her, 'Tell me the title of the book.' To which she replied, 'Don't sweat the small stuff.'" When Eve was asked by Adam, "Will you love me and no one else?" his reply was, "Who else is there?" I will love you forever. Relationships and the Sabbath. The first day that Adam and Eve had was together. Can you imagine Adam looking at Eve? Oh my, you are beautiful. And she probably replied, and you're not bad yourself. Oh, is God good? What a God. How many of you say amen to that? Oh, what a God he is. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, I love this, it's beautiful. A sound heart to life is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. If you keep thinking, I wish I had somebody else's life, guess what? One day you won't have your own life. And the Bible adds in Proverbs 17:22, being cheerful. Listen to this. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You need a merry heart. You need to walk around with a smile. You need to walk around as though it's a privilege to serve God. And not, oh, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. It's been a miserable week. Okay, number three, include time for worship when you recharge. Let us not give up the habit. Listen to this. Time for fellowship. Worship together. Listen to what Paul says in Hebrews chapter 10. And most of you know this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. Some do this, you know. But we exhort one another so much the more as you see the day. What is the day? The second coming of Jesus. We exhort. We encourage. Well, how are you going to exhort if you're not even here? How are you going to exhort one another? I don't need the church. Well, then you'd never read Acts 2, 38 to 42. I'm going to teach a seminar, a whole weekend seminar on building leaders. And it's going to be for this church. I may not do it from Winston. I may do something different down there. But we're going to have a Friday night, Saturday service in January. How to launch into the new year and win people for God. Would you say amen?
Amen.
You're going to enjoy this. It'll be life-changing. Okay, number three. Oh, I'm sorry, Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go where? To the house of God. Oh, I love to worship God, to listen to this music by Bobby and Glenda. I love it. How many of you'd say, man, it's beautiful to be here. Oh, I want to go. I can't wait to be with the people of God. And last, you use the day to refocus your spirit. You refocus your spirit. If you've been negative all week, the Sabbath is here, and you need to tell God, oh, God, I'm sorry. I want time with you. Would you say amen? I want time with you to refocus my spirit. Rest my body, recharge my emotions, and refocus my spirit. Oh, listen to Psalm 96:5. It's beautiful. Psalm 96:5. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And John 4:22 and 23, Jesus meets a woman at the well. Sometime I'll preach that to you. And he says to her, as the walls came down, she had this defense. And he began, and you know how he crushed a defense? He asked her for something. And the walls came down. I want you to preach that by taking my jacket off and my tie off. That's all. But the walls, see. You got to let the walls come down. And Jesus says, I want those who worship me in spirit and truth. What does that mean? I'm not worried what time I get done. Why? Because I probably will go home and nap. I'm worried about worshiping God. Amen? In spirit and in truth. Our brothers and sisters may worship him in spirit, but we have to do it in spirit and in what? Truth. Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. Listen to Mark 8:36. What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world and what? And loses his soul. Oh my. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 11. We have it up here for you. Matthew 11, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And I want to show you something as we wind down and close our service. If anybody ever tells you, is he a long-winded preacher? No. Unless he has something to say. And he has something to say each week. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all ye that labor and are what? And I will give you, take my yoke upon you and, oh, did you catch that? You can't have rest without learning. And learn of me, why? Because I'm meek and lowly in heart. What? My yoke is easy. What? My burden is light, gentle. I love this. Come and you will find rest. Oh my. If you will do the coming, he will do the keeping. Is that good? Now, what? Take your Bible. Turn to Matthew 12 and verse 3. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate showbread, which was not lawful to eat, not for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priest in the temple, those who preached, are blameless? Now come down to verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord what? Why is it that Jesus follows Matthew 11, 28, 29 with the Sabbath story in Matthew 12? There's a reason for that. He connects the coming of the gospel and the resting of the Sabbath together. Hebrews 4 and verse 9 says, there remains therefore a Sabbath-keeping rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has also ceased from his works as God did his. Oh, I love that. How many of you love that? Can you keep a Sabbath a day and be far away from God? Or can you know God and never have known the joy of the Sabbath? I want you to think about those two things. I want to challenge you to start taking this commandment more serious. It's the heart of God's Ten Commandments, a sign of righteousness by faith. Romans 4 talks about Abraham and circumcision. Ellen White is very clear. At the end of time, God's going to have a class of people who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of who? Jesus. And the heart of that worship is the Sabbath. It brings together creation and redemption. How many this morning would like to say, God, I want to rest in you? Would you stand with me as we have prayer? Our Heavenly Father, it is so wonderful to come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Creator, our Redeemer, the one who paid the price that we could have eternal life. All heaven rest. The Sabbath is so important that throughout eternity we will spend a special time with you, Jesus. Oh, our sweet Lord, oh, to be around you, put our arms around you, hug you. And the way we do that, in a small way, is to recognize this time that you have set apart. May we honor you by keeping the Sabbath day. We pray today in Jesus' name.